My dear friends in Christ, today we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, and the Church sets 2 days aside in the liturgy wherein we are invited to ponder and to remember the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother. The first feast is observed during Passion Week, the week before Holy Week, especially the Friday before Good Friday, on Passion Friday, and then today, September 15th, Feast of Our Mother of Sorrows. So this feast for today overrides the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, though it is commemorated in the Mass. And we keep in mind that besides today being the Feast of Our Mother of Sorrows, we know that the entire month of September is dedicated to the sorrow of the Mother. So this feast commemorates the seven great sorrows which Our Lady lived in relation to her Son, as they are recorded in the Gospels. So today the Church invites us all to reflect on Mary's deep sufferings, and we are given a good occasion to reflect upon the seven main sorrows that our Blessed Mother experienced throughout the course of her lifetime. So for those of you mothers, I'm sure that this feast especially speaks to your hearts as mothers. And as we go through the seven sorrows, just try to place yourself in the shoes of our Blessed Mother, and I'm sure you'll be, like I said, able to especially understand what she went through. But the first of these seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother was when she took the baby Jesus to the temple, and the prophet Simeon told her that a sword would pierce her heart. You know how Simeon prophesied that this child was destined for the rise and for the fall of many in Israel, and for a sign that would be contradicted. And he went on to tell her that a sword of sorrow would pierce her heart. And so our Blessed Mother knew that this child was destined for great things, and she knew that he would suffer a very ignominious death, and that there was nothing in her power that she could do to shield him or protect him from that. So that sorrow of knowing what type of death her child would face was obviously a great sorrow to her. The second sorrow was when she and Saint Joseph had to flee to Egypt with our Divine Lord so that Herod's soldiers would not kill him. And we know, and we read in Scripture, how an angel appeared to Saint Joseph sleep and warned him of the great danger that that was at hand. And he told Joseph to take Mary and the child into Egypt and to flee. And so this having to pick everything up and at a moment's notice and leaving many of their belongings behind, they had to flee with what they could carry. And like I said, just uprooting and leaving everything behind. And this was obviously a great sorrow to our Blessed Mother, knowing also that they were seeking the life of our Divine Lord. The third sorrow came years later when the Holy Family had gone to Jerusalem to observe the feast at that time. And we know how when they were traveling back, Mary, our Blessed Mother, and Saint Joseph looked for our Divine Lord amongst their acquaintances, and they were not able to find him. So they went back into Jerusalem, and for 3 long days they searched for our Divine Lord before finding him in the temple. But this was the third sorrow of our Blessed Mother. The fourth sorrow came when our Blessed Mother met our Divine Lord as he was carrying his cross to Calvary. And many of you who have seen the Passion of Christ, I'm sure, are very familiar with how that scene was depicted in that movie. For myself, I would say that was probably one of the more touching scenes in that movie, when our Blessed Mother runs to our Divine Lord as he falls while he's carrying the cross, and she, like I said, meets him on his way to Calvary. The fifth great sorrow that our Blessed Mother experienced was when our Lord was lifted on a cross, where he died after 3 long hours of agony. The sixth sorrow came at the moment when our Divine Lord's sacred body was placed in her arms. And this is one of the more common depictions of our Blessed Mother, our Mother of Sorrows, is that of the Pietas, so to say, where our Blessed Mother is shown holding the dead body of our Divine Lord in her arms after he was taken down from the cross. And then her seventh sorrow came when he was buried in the sepulchre, and when they rolled the stone in front of the sepulchre, and she knew that, like I said, that his sacred body laid there. But as we reflect upon these, you know, we can think of, for example, of mothers who may have lost a child in their life and how great of an agony and a real pain and sorrow that is, not only for the mother, but for the entire family. Or when a child has been lost, we know how great of a sorrow that is when the parent loses a child and is frantically searching for them. I mentioned this in the past, but our family experienced that at one point where one of my sisters was lost at a company picnic that was had at an amusement park. And how I just remember the great panic and anxiety that my parents experienced as they were frantically searching for my sister, which God, thanks be to God, they were able to find. But imagine the anguish and the sorrow. We can also, like I said, imagine when the sorrow, when a child becomes very sick and maybe on death's door, and the parents, like I said, it's completely out of their control, and the great anguish and sorrow that is had at that. So, like I said, trying to have that understanding of what our Blessed Mother went through, and sort of say having that compassion, suffering with our Blessed Mother. And when we think of the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother, as I mentioned, she's often depicted as the sorrow of a mother either at the foot of the cross or holding the lifeless body of our Divine Lord. But she's also very commonly depicted with her Immaculate Heart being pierced with seven swords. And that is a reminder of the seven swords, the seven sorrows that our Blessed Mother experienced. And so as we reflect upon these, let us remember that our Blessed Mother is known as the Queen of Martyrs because she truly underwent spiritual torments greater than any of the bodily agonies that the martyrs underwent. And there are some very beautiful commentaries that are found in the Divine Office for this feast, but some that mention that Our Lady's heart was like an altar when on Calvary she offered up her beloved Son to save us. And despite all the sorrows that our Blessed Mother underwent, let us keep this in mind. She never pitied herself. She never complained that she had to suffer so much during her life. Instead, she offered her sorrows to God for our sakes. She is our spiritual mother, and she loves us dearly. And she was happy to suffer that we might someday share her joy with Jesus in heaven. So as I mentioned, she did not pity herself, she didn't complain. She suffered out of love for us and out of love for Jesus. And in our lives, let us remember that we too have to suffer a little, and we have to suffer, but not even close to what Our Lady suffered. And Our Lady, who was so blessed by God, was not exempt from suffering. So this should remind us that we too should suffer with Christian resignation, with the love of God, and offer it up to God for our salvation, the salvation of souls, the salvation of our family, etc. And when we help someone we love, remember, we have to make sacrifices and we deny ourselves. And our Blessed Mother offered her sorrows to Almighty God. And she truly shows us that the sacrifices of love, patiently endured with faith in God, will in time bear fruit that will last unto eternity. So on this feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, let us reflect on these things. Let us, in our individual sufferings and our trials and tribulations in this life, go to our Blessed Mother, our Mother of Sorrows, and know that we will find in her a true friend, a true mother, who will understand what we are going through and will suffer with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.